Hey y'all, what's up? It's your girl Ezzy. I'm here with a friend of mine, Aisha. I appreciate you for doing this with me. We're both nervous because you're listening to the first episode of my podcast On Everything. And it's just a podcast with me having conversations with people. I like to have deep conversations, and I be having the best conversations. And I'd be like, if it could just be recorded so everybody else could listen to this and learn and grow with me, that would be awesome. So this is the first episode. We got a couple things to talk about. But first, do you want to introduce yourself?
My name's Aisha, like she said. I wear many hats. I'm a mom, I'm a nurse, a teacher, a student. So I hope you guys enjoy this. We do have a lot to say. I too have multiple conversations with people, and I wish that we would have recorded them prior to starting them, but we never do, and it's okay because it was meant for who it was meant for. So I just hope you guys get what you get from this, take what you want from it. If it applies, apply it. If it doesn't, maybe pass it to somebody else.
Right. And I can definitely say the conversations, every conversation that I've had with Aisha since I met her has been of substance. Like, I could take her home and think about it. She knows what she wants. She knows what she's doing. She's solid. So I'm excited.
At least she feels that way. Second guess myself a lot.
Nah, she good. Like, she's valid. So the first thing that I want to do for my podcast is talk about current events, like what's the streets talking about. And lately there's if y'all seen like the Paula White video, Speaking in Tongues, and also Kenneth Copeland laughing all over this election, and also the prophet Brian Karn with his two-sided prophecy. So I'm going to start that off by saying, have you ever heard of Kenneth Copeland? So I pretty much grew up on Kenneth Copeland. My mom is like, she loves pastors. If one of them came to, like, my mom will follow them to their cities, like, you know, pastors tour.
Yeah.
And my mom will go and follow. Like the
She was for real.
For real. The first time I've been to Disneyland was not to go to Disneyland. It was to go and see, was it Kenneth Copeland? No, it was to go and see Morris Cirillo. Morris Cirillo is another multimillionaire pastor. My mom went to Wisconsin to see him. She went to California to see him. We went to PA to see different pastors. My mom also loved Kenneth Copeland, and I was introduced to Kenneth Copeland through his children's ministry. He used to have like these movies called The Commander Kids and everything. So I know this man. And so my mom is like, she loves them because she believes that they hear from God, and whatever they say, that's what God said. And so she's on their side. And so the fact that they're like for Trump, she's for Trump. She saw the video and she's like, yo, this is embarrassing, right?
The way he handled it, I don't personally have that history with what's his name again?
Kenneth Copeland.
I don't have that history. I don't know. I'm not gonna ever disrespect somebody who was anointed by God, because clearly he's anointed by God to be a preacher. Despite whatever he's going through or he has going on right now, I don't agree with how he handled it. That was embarrassing because he's our president now, and it doesn't matter who he is, but he is the leader of our country and we are to follow him. So the best thing we could do is pray for him, pray over him, not laugh at him. That's disrespectful. And like you said, it was kind of embarrassing. Like, you're a man of God. Jesus wouldn't have did that. Jesus wouldn't have went up there and laughed at America's
leader
or whatever the case may be. No matter what he thought in his own opinion, he wouldn't have did that. So I just feel like, as being a Christian, you should be Christ-like. And no, we're not perfect, but I think you should take that into consideration, especially when you go before people who believe you and follow you, because you have been believing and following the wrong thing.
Like, I grew up Christian, and my mom will always like instill certain things. And one of the things that she said was like, you don't like, be careful how you speak about people that are anointed, right?
Like Saul and David.
Yes.
No matter how many times David had countless opportunities to slay Saul, and he didn't.
Right.
Because he knew Saul was anointed by God.
Right. Don't touch God's anointed. Yeah, was a scripture or something like that.
Anointed.
And there was also a story in the Bible of a prophet. I think it was like Elijah or somebody, where he was bullheaded and children were making fun of him. Like they was cracking jokes on him. And he made bears come and eat them. Okay. That's like a for real story in the Bible. So my mom used to be like, my mom used to definitely be like, so you see these stuff happen in the Bible, you go ahead and speak on these ministers and you don't never know what's going to happen to you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
However, I feel like I call it how I see it. And I definitely don't try to be disrespectful. I try to respect people. But at the end of the day, I'm going to say that it is what it is. And like pastors and preachers, I'm grateful that they're speaking about politics now, because they never really spoke about it like they are today. And that's great. They should not influence people to vote for a specific person. I feel like they should encourage them to vote, do your civil duty. But as far as saying, oh, vote for this person, let people think for themselves. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like them preachers doing that with that big influence, they getting people to just kind of follow. So that's my issue with it. Also, my issue is with these pastors and preachers, especially these white pastors and preachers. They don't know where we come from. In the beginning of the year, when they were protesting in the whole George Floyd situation, a lot of preachers was getting canceled. Did you hear that they said they don't want it to be called white privilege? They want it to be called a white blessing. That slavery was a blessing for white people. I forgot what minister said that, but they definitely said things like that during the whole situation in the beginning of the year. Like, and I know pastors is human, they make mistakes, but that just goes to show y'all don't understand us. So don't speak for us. Speak for yourself. And so I feel like they should be encouraging people to have their own mind. You know what I mean?
I feel like the only way to not mislead people or try to, you know, get your followers to think like you think or vote for who you vote for or whatever is by not taking a stand publicly at all.
Right.
Don't speak. People are going to ask you, because people want to follow their leaders
right.
in all things. In politics, it doesn't matter. They're not going to do that extra research to see who they should actually vote for, who they truly believe will do the right thing and lead this country in the right way. They're more so just going to say, oh, well, my pastor or my preacher is going to vote for this person. Clearly,
mm-hmm.
they mentioned it. They feel strongly about this person. I'm going to go ahead and vote, even if it might not do them a justice. At
right.
all. So, personally, I would keep church and politics completely separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, encourage people to vote, because everyone's vote matters.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody deserves the chance to be heard. But personally, I don't agree with mentioning politics, especially in any congregation. And any time you have followers, I want people to have their own mind.
Exactly.
I want people to make decisions off of what they think is best, not off of what I think is best.
Right, exactly. Period. That's all I'm saying too. Now, another thing was with the prophet. I believe it was Brian Carr, but he pretty much secured two sides. He said, oh, God told me that Trump is going to be reelected, and then he turns around and says, but God gave me a dream and Biden was the president. And for me, I feel like he's taking us for idiot, because he's just securing two sides. Like, you can't do that. Like, if you're going to be doing that, I could be a prophet too. Because I could just pick something that's going to be 50-50 and be like, God told me. And like, just cross my fingers and hopefully that's what it is. And then y'all could look at me and be like, oh, well, she is a prophet and she is hearing from God. When really, I'm just picking something that's 50-50 and putting my coins on one of them. Like, Don't do that. I just want people to be real. I wish that everybody was just honest. For prophets and pastors to be out here just making these claims and stuff like that, that's not true. And you got people really following you. I feel terrible about that. How you feel?
To be honest, I try not to like rack my brain about it. It's too much to even bear. We all got to answer to God one day, judgment day, and that's just it. So do right now while you have a chance, because there ain't no fooling God. So you can fool your followers, you can fool people. I personally do pray for discernment, and that's a scary thing, because you really do start to recognize not only things about other people, but things within yourself. So I really just strongly try to focus on myself and make sure I'm not doing what I'm trying to point out that they're doing. So that's the first step that I normally take with anything that I bring up that bothers me or something like that. As far as prophets, if he is a prophet, then he is a prophet. I would always tell people to take what you hear with a grain of salt. Don't believe everything you hear. Definitely don't believe everything you see. But I mean, if he is, he is. And I'm not saying he is, nor am I negating and saying he's not. But I do know that the Bible says that during the end times there will be false prophets. So
come with somebody.
Yeah, so I'm not calling him by any means a false prophet. I don't know enough about this man or his prophecies.
Yeah,
or
she literally just watched all these videos, like the Paula White, the Kendall Cooper, all that. And she didn't really know none
so
of that.
So this is pure, unfiltered, unthought, premeditated, just opinion. Just of how I take on anything, so to speak. But yeah, so with that case, if you don't feel like he's authentic, you just make the choice to cut that short at this point. And then if people ask, I won't say don't go around bashing him, but if people ask, simply speak your piece and give your reasoning. If you want, you're a grown woman, you don't gotta explain yourself to nobody. But just give your peace, give your reasoning and stuff like that, and just leave it at that. He got the deal with God at the end of the day. So if he is authentic and he misheard God or whatever the case may be, there may have been some kind of disconnect. Maybe he got in the way, and that's what was conflicted and gave him two sides of two outcomes, I guess, so to speak, of what he really wanted and what was really said by God. Or he didn't hear from God at all. Only God knows.
Right.
And then I call it white stuff. Do we gotta talk about that?
I thought we did. Did we?
I don't know if we did.
I think what we said was that she shouldn't be like, because she had a whole prayer service for making Trump president. What we said was let people, you know, choose who they want their candidate to be.
And with that too, in prayer, your prayer should be, especially when you're leading people, it should be for God's will to be done.
Right. Come on, Aisha.
It should not be for what real. You want. You shouldn't be up there, especially in front of all these people who believe in you, who are following you, and you're misleading them, and you're getting up there and you're praying for your will to be done. And that's not how God works.
No, sir.
At all. So that right there, true authenticity is God, may your will be done. And whoever our president is or vice president is, or whatever the case may be, God, I just ask that you work in their lives and you grow in them, and they open themselves up to receive you, because nobody's gonna run this country well without God.
Right.
And we're attached to them. We are under our leadership, so we should be praying for them. It's like a wife who marries a man. It's like the man is the head of the household. So if my man is acting up and making mistakes or doing dumb stuff, I need to pray that God gets him right, gets him delivered, because me, myself, my kids, we're attached to this man who is the head of our household. Just like we're all attached to our leaders who are ahead of our country. So instead of bashing them or laughing at them, praying for whoever it is that's going to lead this country. Because just like our votes matter, your prayers matter.
Mm-hmm. I think another thinking about it too, because I just found out that Paula White is his spiritual advisor. So I think that maybe it's in her best interest for that paycheck, maybe, to like keep him in office, and maybe that's why she going so hard. I don't know.
I think at this time, God's tired of us being on the fence with a lot of things, pretending, playing spiritual, playing church, playing like you on God's side. You're not fooling God.
Come on.
At all. So, as much as you feel like, oh, but I love God and I always do the right thing and I always do, you really love God, you would want what He wants for not only yourself, but for your country as well. Other than that, the people who claim to be saints, we really got to step up. It's time, this isn't the time to be timid and shy. This is the time to really step up and show this world what spiritual people are really about, what Christians are really about.
And that's exactly what you're doing right now, for real. So she not just talking about it, she's being about it. You know what I'm saying?
Trying. It's an everyday process, y'all. I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes, and I'm just being really authentic and real with y'all, transparent. I don't live a perfect life, but what I am being is perfected, and I am being processed, and I'm going through those processes. I'm not trying to rush the course. I really do get in the mirror, and I really do try to fix myself or something I see wrong with myself every day before I dare point the finger at somebody else. I point it at me and try to say, like, what is it in me that's calling you out for that? Because, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely say I do self-reflection all the time. And I think that's so why important. I'm into these like conversations, because it makes me look at myself and make me want to tweak a couple things, make me want to be better, make me like, so it's all about transparency. And while we're on that topic of like our self-reflection, I want us to talk about, because you're a mom for what, 8 years now?
Yeah,
8 years. And I wanted to talk about our growth as mothers, as women.
Yeah.
What is like, give me like two things you could say is like clearly different from, you know, before Sky and or during the 8 years, something that like has changed about Aisha
growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before kids, you could kind of be irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pay my bills, like, they gonna get their money later and I get their money. But now it's like, okay, no, you gotta pay them bills, because if you don't pay your rent, you can't just go couch hopping or stay at a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
So you find something else. You can't just, you know, not pay the light bill and not have no lights, because your baby needs light. She needs to be able to take a shower. So I guess that being responsible, kind of, so responsible and growing up.
Okay.
Responsibility and maturity.
Right.
I couldn't handle situations. This is more on the maturity part.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle situations the same way I did prior to. Reckless, just kind of like impulsive. If something comes, something arise, a situation arise that like was displeasant to me, I couldn't just go off the wall and just kind of handle it how I used to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have a whole nother human that I'm responsible for, so I have to take into consideration, and it caused me to grow and try to learn different ways to handle situations that are displeasing or discomforting or that anger me, so that she won't have to pay for my choices, and she won't have to deal with my consequences.
I think I could say the same. I'm more conscious about how I do things as a mother, because I know she's watching me.
They're little sponges.
Mm-hmm.
They're sponges.
So that's definitely one of the things. And also with purpose, it's like now it's like I'm so driven to like chase my dreams for her. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I wanted to graduate so bad so that my daughter can see it, because my mom was in school, and my mom worked her ass off. You know what I'm saying? My parents worked really hard, and I also want to do it for them. You know what I'm saying? Because I know as a mom, my mom, she was happy. She was proud to see me graduate. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And me watching my mom work hard make me want to work hard. So now that me graduating and me working hard, now my daughter's going to work hard and graduate and add something else.
Yeah.
Successful to this, you know what I'm saying?
Just like you were a child, even right. One time, you still are your parents' child.
Mm-hmm.
Your children place value on what you place value on.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. if you value working hard and having a good work ethic and being responsible and, you know what I'm saying, and education, if you place value on that, she'll see that and she'll learn that you're the perfect woman to her in her eyes. So yeah. she'll learn to place value on whatever it is you place value on.
That's true. That's exactly what it is. So I wanted her to know, like, you're gonna graduate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because for me, I was like first generation to finish like a college. So it was big for me. And I know me doing that, my daughter, and that's why I was sad that COVID happened and I couldn't have my ceremony and everything, because that ceremony was going to be very like.
Same. Me too. We both graduated 2020.
Yes. It would have been like very like. What do you call it? I don't know. Like, just a moment in time where we would never forget. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was special to me, special to my parents. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Special to my daughter, because that's what I want her to see. And, like, also education. Like, education is important. I do want her to go to college for the education, but, like, whatever she wants to do, I want her to know that she can start and she can finish. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. And yeah. that if she starts it, she should finish.
She should, right.
So be mindful, whatever you start,
mm-hmm.
make sure you ready to go all in.
Right.
And you're actively raising your children. And I'm not just saying being in the household, providing food, providing shelter, clothes, etc. Those are basic provisions from a mother. But when you're really raising your children, as in when you see something, they made a mistake or they did something wrong, you're correcting it. Whether it be with friends, whether it be with cousins, siblings, with you as a parent or their other parent, you really are disrupting that behavior and really teaching them why it's wrong, mm-hmm. first of all,
mm-hmm.
and an alternative way
mm-hmm.
to deal with that situation.
Yeah.
And not just like, I know people who are very much spirit rod and just kind of like, you know, whoop and feel like I don't owe my child an explanation. But at the same time, what is that teaching them? When you don't explain, I'm not saying don't do it. I mean, there's a line between abuse and correction.
Yeah.
So let's put that out there.
Right.
And also, part of the correction aspect is that you are talking to them and communicating where they went wrong and why they are now getting chastised. This is because you did something wrong.
Right.
And I don't want you to do this mistake again. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't explain to them what they did wrong, you don't do any explaining at all. It's just they got caught and you just beat them crazy. They're just going to learn that I'm going to just do a better job at hiding it from you. Because
right.
I know that if I get caught, I'm going to get beat. So you're instilling fear. A tactic I use personally with my daughter, and I'm a first time mom. I never really had a mom, so to speak. So this is a really different for me, and it was a little difficult. I read magazines, I read blogs, I went to parenting classes, I did everything when I found out I was pregnant with Guy, bro.
That's
good.
Let
me tell you. It helped, but it didn't help. Because their child isn't my child.
Right.
Their strongholds weren't my strongholds. Their familiar curses weren't my familiar curses. So that's a whole nother ball game. But it did give me a foundation to start with raising her. And it's just like,
it goes to show that you care, like you took it serious. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's
because I didn't want her to grow up like me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want her to be faced with the same things that I wanted to be faced with. Which is where I'm going with this. I know I kind of probably seem like I'm all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to my head.
Right.
So, so back to that. What I instill in her rather than fear is disappointment.
Mm.
Sky will get really heartbroken and will upset and distraught if I tell her. She will cry more if I tell her, like, I'm disappointed in you. You lied to me. So now I can't trust you.
Mm.
And talking to your, you know, 6, 7, 8-year-old, you'll be surprised at the level of understanding they have. Like, she'll really look at me, tears well up in her eyes, like, I want you to trust me. I'm like, you know, that it hurts me as your mom. we did this thing where we did like trust exercises, and she proved to me time and time again that she could trust me, and she'll just like fall, she'll throw herself back, right? So she'll be so she'll prove time and time again that she trusts me, and I'll bring that up and I'll say, you know, it hurts mommy because you show that you trust, you could trust me so much. Do you trust me? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, so I believe you. Do you not know how much it hurts me and it disappoints me that I can't have that same trust in you? Is that fair?
Wow.
And it gets her every
time. That got me just now. Yeah, like my, sorry.
You know you gotta get to their level too. You can't just talk over them. Like, yes. No, I'ma come down here so we eye to eye so you can see the hurt. You crying? Why you crying? You disappointed me. You hurt me. Mm-hmm. My feelings is hurt. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, that works more than corporal punishment or whatever, like beating her or whatever. And I think I probably gave Sky 2 whoopings her whole life. She's 8.
Wow. Yeah. I love to hear like your perspective about that. Yeah. Like now I'm finna do that. I'm out to.
But you know what? Listen, take anything that I do or say with a grain of salt, apply it where you can, because our children are different.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you feel like you wanna try a different approach, try a different approach. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, then you know.
I think Ashaya, I talked to Ashaya too. I have given her a couple ass whoopings now. Awesome. I have. But I don't do it all the time. Like, I talk to Ashaya more than anything. And sometimes I talk to her over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's the part.
However, I feel like she does listen to me, because I know she listens when I could talk to her and be having a real conversation with her. And then I would hear her, you know, doing something else. And she would bring that up and be like, oh, yeah, my mom said. And I'd be like, you was listening. That's
right,
my girl.
That's good. That's good. Proud mommy moment.
And she, I know that my daughter wants nothing more than to like make me proud.
And I'm not saying don't do, you know, butt whoopings and stuff.
She earned it.
Listen, but when my thing is, and this is what I tell any of my friends and stuff, is just make sure you have that conversation.
Oh yeah.
Either prior to or after. Because I used to get whooped for things other people did, and it was just like, I'm getting the whooping because that person doesn't want to inflict harm on their own kids. So it's like, I'm gonna beat you because you have no choice.
That's not right,
you know. It wasn't right, but it also taught me, like, I grew up with a lot of resentment towards that person and anger towards that person, and it wasn't healthy. So I've forgiven them, so that's good. That took a lot, but God is good.
I think it does, like you said, it all depends on the kid. Like, you know your kid, I know my kid.
That's why I said parenting is hard. It's not just a one-shot deal where you could one type of treatment or technique will fix all children. Yeah. They are all different.
And that's why I don't be liking people too much opinions on how I'm doing with my child.
Sky listens. She does listen, and I could get her with the whole disappointment thing.
Right.
You know, so
right.
It's like, I play that to my advantage.
Right.
But don't get me wrong, if it calls for it, you getting popped.
Right.
Like, you're gonna get it. Mm-hmm. So don't make me have to do that. And then I know, you know, it's probably supposed to threaten your kids, but I'll tell her quick, like, we gotta go have a talk in the bathroom.
right.
No?
Oh,
I'm gonna give you a second. Get it together.
Right.
Or I'm gonna have to get you together.
Yeah.
So you figure it out. Mm-hmm. You could make a choice. You a big girl. Make your choice. You come back to me and let me know. And she'll, I'm gonna figure it out. Okay. Good.
Right.
Another thing I wanted to touch on with kids, since we're talking about parenting and raising kids, is kind of like breaking old habits. Like I said, for instance, I got beat with belts, wires. I got beat with a wire hanger, like the whole nine. So I knew in front of the whole hood, in front of the whole neighborhood, because I was outside. And everybody was outside. But because I was outside, and the person used to think it was like funny, like, you know, and I had to whoop her with that hanger. Yep, everybody saw. And it was so embarrassing, and it hurt so deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want that I don't want that for her.
Have you seen them videos where these parents be like cutting kids' head on video just so that they can embarrass them for like not doing good school?
And when your kid kills himself, then what? Then what? Because that's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing, and like
that's too much.
You are
right now.
You are your kid's first love, and if the person I love the most can do this to me, that to grow up with not only that embarrassment or that hardening in your heart or that pain or that hurt, it's like a distrust is born. Because if the person who I love the most and who supposed to love me the most can do this to me, I'm not trusting nobody.
That's
and
right.
Then you're raising your child to grow up
with in the back like with a preach.
That just is raising your kids to harden their heart. And I want to put this out there too, back to what I was saying with my friend. We were just kind of talking about the parenting. We had like a 2-hour conversation. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I love her whole life. I didn't even care. But we were just talking about our curses, our family curses, generational strongholds.
That should be like a whole nother episode, but I want to know. What's yours though?
Oh, girl, it's a whole... Gotta scratch my head on that one because Lord knows.
Let me tell you mine.
There's a lot. Well, it's not even just one thing. What I realized is, and this is kind of how I broke it down to her, it's like generations before us, strongholds, curses, bad decisions, everything is like a snowball. And every generation, the snowball is just coming down the hill. And then what happens as it's going down the hill during their generation, all their stuff is getting put onto it. Now it's bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. And by the time it gets to our generation, it's like now we're faced with a choice. Do I not only not destroy this stronghold and break it apart piece by piece, or do I just let it pass me by and let it accumulate my crap, my bad decisions, and my bad choices, and let my daughter deal with it? And it's like you have to, and it's not fair. And I don't know whoever thought of this misconception that life is fair. It's not fair. But would you rather deal with that unfairness yourself or leave it for your children or your children's children? Because that's what you're teaching them by letting it just be passive.
Right.
You're teaching them to let it be passive. And then their kids will have to deal with it.
What's one thing you think, like what... Can you say something specific or is it
two-person one? It's a lot. I think I would have to say two major things for me that I first recognized and immediately started working on so that she wouldn't have to work on. One was violence, like violence in the household, mm-hmm. or that anger.
Mm-hmm.
That was enough. If you even get to the point of recognizing it, it's overwhelming when you face it, you recognize it, and now you have to choose to destroy it. You mm-hmm. have to choose to break that down, break it up, and face it. Because you can't even combat it if you don't face it.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd rather just like, you know, sweep it under the rug or allow that snowball to continue downhill to future generations. Like I said, until when I had a daughter myself, I recognized, no, I really would go to jail if somebody put their hands on my daughter. They gonna put me under the jail, actually. Like, right. I'm done. They might give me the chair, because we not having that. But I also, as a woman, I have to teach her that that's not okay. Mm-hmm. I have to show her every time a man disrespects me or if a man put his hands on me, I make sure that she's not witnessing that. So she knows that's not familiar to her.
Right.
Like, and if a man disrespects me, every time a man disrespects my mother, let me tell you something about my mom.
Right.
And she'll know. Mm-hmm. Or she'll know how I carry myself to the point where I don't really often or not, I don't get disrespected. And if I do get disrespected, it's by people who are very ignorant,
right.
or people who don't have respect for themselves. So I don't even expect respect from you, if that makes sense.
Right.
Because you don't even know how to respect yourself. You probably right. disrespect your mother. What more would you respect me if you could disrespect the woman that brought you into this world?
Right.
So that's another story, but that was definitely a big one. that was a big one, but it was a no-brainer for me, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Forgiveness. Whoa.
That's another one. Also, in my family, teenage pregnancy from my grandmother. I don't know how old she was when she had, but she had 13 children. And my mom had a child in 10th grade. All my sisters, yeah. and then me at 17. Like, so we all kind of had babies early.
Yeah.
And it was funny because before I even got pregnant, I realized, and I was like, wow, am I next? And I was joking. I was just joking. And then I was next. So it's like...
I love that you're saying that. Not to cut you off, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But I'm working on... I take a lot of notes and stuff, and I develop a lot of... I'm writing a book. Ooh. But the power of a thought. A thought, one... tiny thought is so powerful. It's crazy. And what did you say? In your mind, your thought was, am I next? And
I was just trying to key about the situation. I ain't even know, like, I really was next. And there's just a couple things. Like, my mom is from Belize. She came up to America, you know, she's an immigrant, whatever. And they have their own, like, culture and own situation going on down there. But she comes up here now and, like, she's trying to figure it out. It's the whole new world. You know, mm-hmm. she meets my dad, whatever. My sister, me and my sister grew up in church, like, all our lives. You know what I'm saying? And we were kind of, like, closed off to the world. Like, it was no hanging out after school, no going to no friends' house. Like, my mom, like, because I'm the youngest.
You know,
they always give the youngest a little leeway.
Mm-hmm.
But...
I think they just got tired, right?
And, like, yelling. So my sister didn't get all of that stuff. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we kind of did things behind our parents' back and everything, and, like, try to figure things out on our own, and ended up pregnant. So for what I'm doing now is I'm a lot more open. Like, my sister, my daughter's still young to know about, like, sex and things like that, but.
Yeah.
In little ways, you know, I teach her about her own body. Like, I kind of, like, I'm more open with her, okay? In our own little way. And it's not, and it's on her level. You know what I'm saying? And she understands, number one, that she respects her body and she's going to respect everybody else's body. She knows that Ashaya comes and talks to me about everything. If somebody says something to Ashaya... Like, my daughter's 6. I don't know about Sky, but she already heard about sex from another kid. So I had to have a really scratch-the-surface conversation about basically that it's for adults. It's an adult thing. You're a kid, and that's not something you should worry about right now. But, like, we talk, and she knows she could talk to me about those things. So I know that growing up, if we keep it going this way, you know, if the time comes or whatever, or if she's thinking about it or, like, whatever's going on, I'm pretty sure she can come to me, we could talk about it, and, like, you know, I feel more safe about it, about, you know, like, her not falling into that snowball effect, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really doing my best to take care of that. And, like, anger also, like I said, I watch what I do. Like, sometimes I be losing my patience, I be getting angry.
We all do.
Yeah. Then I go and apologize. Shia, I was wrong. I'm sorry.
That's, you know what I'm saying? When mm-hmm. you could, what? I do the same thing. Like,
now,
blow up. Listen, mommy had a bad day,
mm-hmm.
and you was not listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when I yell at you, it really hurts your feelings.
Yes.
But I need you to understand that when I have to talk to you repeatedly, it hurts my feelings. And
right.
now we have to come to a common ground. I will yell. But you must listen the first time.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then, but on the forgiveness piece, I'm not gonna lie, I'm still working on it. And I thought I was good, but then things come up, and it's like, I'm not good, I'm still on that, and that, I'm still hurt. And that's a work in progress.
Yes, it's always a progress. It's always a process. Forgiveness is a process. And sometimes you'll think, like, oh, I passed that test. Like, God, I forgave them.
I thought I was dead.
I forgave them. I'll give them a hug right now. And
right.
so, the testing comes.
Yep.
And a little pressure is applied. Yes, or a lot
ma'am.
Of pressure is applied. And you're
like,
oh, I'm still a little weak right there. Yep. Okay. Yep. Got you. But even those situations, I'm grateful for because it exposed me to what I still need to work on.
Right.
So I'm happy for the testing. It don't feel good at all. But, you know, you can't ask God to get you right or to help you along this process without him having to expose you so you could get the healing.
Is there anything else you want to add?
To the forgiveness, I could talk all day, but I'm going to keep it short. Part of, I don't know if this might help you or this might help somebody else if it doesn't help you. The forgiveness for me was really, really meditating on the fact that we wrestle not with flesh. Mm. I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the fact that you're allowing the enemy to use you to hurt me. You, as a person, don't want to hurt me. The enemy does. So it's like, I'm more so mad at him for using somebody I love or I hold close to me or dear to me and using them to not, like, a person I care about to hurt me. So it really makes you get mad, but just make sure your anger is targeted at the right thing and not the person. Because we really don't wrestle with flesh. Like, we can, but that's a distraction. Because if the enemy's done using that person, he might start using another person, and now you just mad at everybody in your circle when it's not even them. So I guess just keeping that in the back of your mind that it's not that person. It's not, you know, your friend, it's not your cousin, it's not your mom, it's not your uncle, it's not your aunt. It's whoever they're allowing to pull their strings. And just make sure that you're allowing the right force to pull your strings as well. So, and just remembering that there's so many times that, for me personally speaking, that God forgave me. So who am I to not forgive other people? When I've probably hurt God way more than any individual person has hurt me in my life. So, I would just say, for me it works. I keep that in the back of my mind. I don't like it. And God brings it to the front of my mind every time I feel myself getting angry at somebody. And I appreciate it, but like I said, I don't like it because my old ways, the old me, would get mad, get angry, lash out, and curse them. But when you're going through that process, like I said, that's how you show progress. That's how you show growth when you no longer handle those situations as you once did.
As you were saying that, I feel like when you said that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood or whatever, I feel like a lot of stuff that hurt me that I'm taking time to try to forgive now are what made me who I am today or made me think the way that I think today. And I kind of like the person I'm becoming. Like, beside all of that, like, I know I need to forgive, but once I get on the other side of that, I know it's a beautiful person. It's a strong person. It's a person for the world to see. And that person, even though the devil used them, like, don't the Bible say whatever the enemy meant for evil,
God
is going to use it for good. We got to, now that you say that, it just made me have this whole revelation. Like, it's not them. You know what I'm saying? The enemy used them to, like, hurt you and keep you down and make us weak because of it. But once we exercise forgiveness, and they always say, it's not about them. Forgiving, it's not about them. It's about us. Because they done moved on and they doing their thing. They ain't worried about you. Right. So it's about us, you know, using that situation and getting to the next level. But this was so, 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 so good.
Yes.
And I'm so happy for everything you said and all your input.
Thank you.
I think that everybody else would enjoy it, because how could you not? Like, she really just dropped some gems. Like, so.
Oh, listen, I think this girl, we have such amazing talks.
Yes.
From day one, her spirit, her heart.
Oh,
she, no, for real. And her confidence. I've been dying to get out here and really help. Like, I really, truly, all I want to do is help. And if I could show you my scars to help you heal from yours, and my marks, so I can show you that I've been through something similar and how I healed from it, and it can help you, that's truly all that I ask.
Same.
So And she has the confidence to go out here. She just jumped out in faith, okay? Yes. And we're like starting this whole thing. And I remember we had this conversation in the summertime. I was just like, yeah, I really want to do that. I really want to start speaking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I admire your confidence. And you just did it. He was like, I'm going to do it. And I did it. And I'm over here still playing patty cake with it, whatever.
Right.
So
I appreciate you. We did it. Yes, this is my first video.
So there's definitely more to come.
Yeah.
You haven't heard the last of us.
No,
and thank you for allowing me. Yes. Thank you.
So I'm gonna catch y'all in the next episode. We're gonna have Aisha back. Okay.
Yes.
So catch y'all in the next video. Thank y'all so much.
Peace.